everybody. Wow, what an amazing song by Brandon Lake. The half has not been told song session with Brandon Lake and his fellow musicians. Folks, welcome. It is March 19th, 2024, and you are joining me for some morning devotional, some morning worship, some morning fellowship, some morning thanksgiving, some morning joy. We're all together to get that Holy Spirit, or I should say the Holy Spirit is here to get all of us ready to rise up to the day and to meet today's challenges and to embrace, not just accept, not just, you know, have happen to you, but embrace today's trials, today's tribulations, today's treasures, today's thanksgivings. That's what we do every day here. And I'll tell you what, if I almost wish, getting a little too ahead of myself there. I almost wish that we had Rise Up 7 days a week. But, you know, we have time for our families. We worship with our families. We worship at church. So I think, you know, 5 days out of the seven that we're here, if I didn't have this every day, I'm not saying that I wouldn't, you know, that I wouldn't still give my time to the Lord every day, but it would be very different. It would be very different. And today, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say happy first day of spring. And as you can see, the spring, beautiful setting behind me with the mountains still covered in snow. Happy first day of spring. And, you know, spring is so special, and it's a time of rebirth and rising up, right? And this time of year is so special to a Christian because we equate spring with that of Jesus, you know, rising on the third day. And got freezing temps this morning, says Wanda. Yeah, we're still cold up here. But man, we really, look at Lala. Lala says, I'd love this every day. Yeah, I think it would be beneficial, don't you? Oh my gosh, the weather is psychotic. It's cold, Burr. I know. Very grateful for Rise Up, said JV. So am I. Blooming with joy, says CQ. Good morning. Jeremy, you look a lot like my brother. I posted a picture in the group with him, and you both look alike. Sounds like a very handsome man, your brother there. Tell him I said hello and what's up. Spring is my favorite, says Jess Patriot. You know what I love about spring the most is waking up and hearing this. And you go outside with your coffee and you just sit there and you enjoy the beautiful weather. You enjoy that beautiful sun beating down on your face, and it's such a great time of the year. And it lets you know that there's so much greatness ahead. And I think that's a great way to look at the, you know, look at Jesus' death on the cross. There's so much greatness to come from that. Talk about leaving the old cold behind and embracing the warm new. I mean, that's where we're at right now. So here's to spring, and here's to rising up with each and every one of you every day, Monday through Friday. Good morning, Kitten. Good morning, Lord Fishy. Good morning, Watercop. Good morning, Mutt Mom. Good morning, KC2022. Good morning, Meemaw, Becky, and Majogo. God bless each and every one of you. Look, today we've titled the show, When God Says No. Nobody likes to be heard or to be told no, right? Every one of us, if we ask somebody something that we would like, and if we ask somebody for something, we would love them to tell us yes every time. Hey, boss, can I get a day off? Yes. Wife says to the husband, hey, you think you could help out a little bit more around the house this weekend? I'd really love some time off. Yes. Husband says to wife, hey, sweetie, I'm going to go golfing for the next 2 days straight and I won't be around. Wife says, yes. See, we all want to be told yes. But if we were told yes every single time that we asked for something, we would be spoiled brats we would never learn anything, and we would never understand respect and protection. Respect and protect, right? So when your parents tell you no, you need to respect that they are there to protect. And it goes both ways. Children are to respect, parents are to protect, right? So when God says no, folks, we need to look at it like that. And that's what this morning's show is all about. Again, thank you for being here. Make sure that you click that Rumble button. Smash it hard. Maybe if you press the Rumble button harder, Eli, it'll count for more Rumbles, you think? I don't know. Just try it. Just try to push it a little harder. Or maybe, I don't know, just share and get other people to do it. That helps as well. So make sure you guys share the video, Rumble the video. We appreciate you being here. We got a beautiful spring setting here. It's the first day of spring. We're rising up. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to prayer now and thank God for everything that he has blessed us with. Amen. Lord, Father in heaven, today is such a beautiful and wonderful day of being the first day of spring and all. We compare it and associate it with so much of our faith and, you know, looking towards forward to positive and beautiful warm things and leaving cold, dark days behind us. It has such symbolism for our faith, and it's just a great time of the year, and we thank you for that. And we definitely, Lord, just give you gratitude and all glory to you that we get to gather together and talk about you, worship you, sing songs about you and your promises and what you've done and what you continue to do and what you will do in the future for each and every one of us. We also thank you for telling us no. We also thank you for when we stick out our hands into a dangerous situation, you smack that hand and you say, nope, bring it back. What a wonderful Father you are. What a wonderful protector you are. You respect us so much. You protect us and love us so much. We're not used to that kind of protection, respect, and love here on earth. So for some that are watching right now or listening, it might be harder for them than it is others. And Lord, today we ask that you warm their hearts, soften their hearts as well, and let them just embrace what you give freely. Let them embrace when you say no, because there's a reason. And help us understand that today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. TJ 1462 says, I love watching and listening. Angel Girl said, already rumbled and shared, Jeremy. You don't have to ask me twice. That a girl. Thank you so very much. Okay, let's get into it. So today's verse is going to come from the book of James. James being the half-brother of Jesus. How cool would that be? Can you imagine saying, oh, Jesus of Nazareth? Do I know him? We only stayed up at nights when we were supposed to be sleeping. Of course I know Jesus. He's my half-brother. Imagine how cool that would be to say that, right? Imagine how many times Jesus and James may have heard no by their mom and their dad. Please tell us the name of the song and the one who sings it, Bernadette. The name of the song is The Half Has Not Been Told, and it is by Brandon Lake. The Half Has Not Been Told by Brandon Lake. We'd like to welcome Lee. Thank you very much for joining in today. So what we're talking about is when God says no and why. So let's get to the verse of the day right away today, I think. And if you can open your Bibles to James 1, 2 through 8. That is where we are going to be reading from today. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Thank you, Laterer, and everybody else who's typing that into the thread. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay. So, trials and temptations. Now, we know Jesus went through trials. We also know Jesus had temptations. Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. So you know for sure that Jesus was tempted by children, other youths. As he grew up as a teenager, he was tempted, I'm sure, to do some terrible bad things, to sin. And Jesus was always able to say no. Wouldn't that be great if it was the same for us? I Am Jeff says, can you imagine trying to get Jesus to take the blame? But he was always honest, fights with his brother. I mean, you got to think about, I mean, I would love to see, and I don't think there's enough, and I don't think there's much writing about it, but it would be nice for somebody to put together a movie based on Jesus's young life. And I know that there are some out there, but not in-depth ones. I have not seen in-depth ones. It would be nice to see what Jewish boys of that time period would have went through. It would be nice to know what kind of temptations they had. I'm sure they're very much like ours today. Youth is youth and adolescent is adolescent. But it would be cool to see that, wouldn't it? And to have, you know, somebody put together an in-depth movie of Jesus's boyhood temptations in his life in his adolescent years. If anybody knows about any movie that there is out there like that, please put it in the chat. We would love to know, because I find that time period of his life so interesting, and you know, everything about his life made him who he is, right? So it'd be cool to see that. If anybody has that would be great. So now that we've opened up our Bibles. We are 20 minutes past the hour. Let's get into it. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I want to stop right there and continue to talk, okay? So, has anybody here gone to college? Raise your hand. Now, when you decide to go to college, you know, if you're going for the right reasons anyway, and you're not going to party and become woke, but if you're going to college to actually learn something because you want a career in this field and you're dead set that this is what I have to do, I'm going to go learn, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to get every piece of information. And I know that, and I know what I'm going to have to go through, right? When you go to college, you know, look at all the hands up. You know that it's going to be rough. You know that it's going to be very tough. You know that there are going to be many sleepless nights to get where you want to go. You know you're going to have to sacrifice. You know that there are going to be grades and test scores. And you know you're going to have grades that go up and down and up and down. Right? Trade school as well. Any kind of higher learning. I went to a trade school myself for plumbing and heating. But you know that you're going, it's not going to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Or if it was free, maybe everybody would do it. But it doesn't matter whether it's college, whether it's trade school, whether it's some kind of higher learning to get where you want to go. You know for sure that it's going to be difficult, but yet you still go do it. Why? Trishy says, college was hard, but a great experience. Why do you go to college knowing it's going to be tough, knowing it's going to be difficult, knowing you're going to have to be away from your family, knowing you're going to see all new experiences, knowing you're going to go into debt to go to college in some cases, why do you do it? You do it so that you can achieve what your desires and goals are. Right? And it doesn't matter if you grew up poor or grew up rich. If you want to go to college in America, trust me, you will go to college. The American dream is not dead. Me and Eli were talking about this yesterday. If the American dream was dead, then people wouldn't be making a living off doing podcasts. See what I'm saying? It's not easy to go to college. and you know it's not going to be easy. You know you're going to do some, have some failures and some, and a lot of successes and some failures you're going to have to pick yourself up from. But the fact of the matter is, you go because you know on the other side, when you go through all of this, you will be better at whatever it is. Same thing right here. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. No, okay, I know that I'm going to go through life's arrows today. I know that as I go out into the world today, this is why you should pray before you get, you start your day. You know that when you go out in the world that day, that the devil is going to be shooting demonic flaming arrows at you all day long. You know this is going to happen. And so many of us act like it's a surprise, like, oh, here we go. I knew this was going to happen today. Well, what else could happen? Oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Why is everything suck? Blah, 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 blah. We know we're going to experience trials. So why don't we go, all right, God, just like college, I know that this is going to be an experience. I got to be happy about this. I got to be ready. I got to be, or any higher learning, I got to be ready. Or even if it's not college, even if it's going away to study to be, to go and be like a journeyman program, or you're going to be an intern somewhere, you are still going through something you know is going to be difficult to obtain something that you want to obtain or achieve. You have to go through hard times to obtain something that's special. Otherwise, everybody would just obtain it, and it wouldn't be special, and it wouldn't be hard, and it'd be giving it to you. Same thing as the military. Exactly, jump off. You know that if you want to go be an officer, or if you want to go be a sergeant, or if you want to go and you want to fight for your country overseas, you want to do whatever it is you got to do. You know you got to go through basic training. You know you've got to go through basic training. You know you've got to go through AIT. You know you've got to get your MOS, whatever it's going to be. It's not going to be easy. If you obtain anything special, it's going to be hard. What is there more special than your salvation? So why wouldn't we, because salvation is so special, and because it's reserved for only those who can make it through the rough, tough, and tumble times, and only those who know that Jesus Christ is their Lord, and know that as a Christian, they're going to suffer this stuff, but keep their focus on God while they're walking on the water. If that is the most special thing that anybody could ever achieve, then we need to know, walking out of our house every day, I'm going to go through so much today. Whether I consider it bad or good, God says it's needed. Whether I consider it bad or good, or whether it makes me happy or it doesn't, God says it is needed, and I want to obtain the salvation. So I should go, whatever it is, I'm excited to learn today. If I go out there and I don't succeed at anything I do, I know that in that day of not succeeding at anything and literally failing at everything I try to do, I'm going to learn something. And whatever it is that I learned today, I did not know yesterday. I do not know right now. So let me go get it. Let's do this. What do you got for me today? I want to learn. And that's, if you can figure out that part of life, if you can understand that those arrows that the devil is shooting at you are actually, instead of trying to dodge them, instead of trying to just grab them, embrace them. Oh, what can I learn in all of this? Let me take all these arrows. I'm going to take these arrows home, and I'm going to learn from today's mistakes. I'm going to learn from today's trials and tribulations. I'm going to learn from what mistakes that I made today, what decisions I made that might not have been right. Thank you for these arrows. I appreciate them. I'm going to hold them like a bouquet of flowers, and I'm going to take these arrows home. I'm going to be back tomorrow, though. You going to be here? Hey, Satan, you going to be here tomorrow? I know me and God are going to be here. I know me, God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus as a team of four. I know we're going to be here every day. You going to be here? Yeah? What about all you little demons? You going to be here? Good. Because I need to take these arrows home and learn from them. And I need to come back tomorrow and get some more. So I really hope you guys are here. Because I'm going to tell you what. You can't shoot enough arrows at me and make me stop. You couldn't shoot all the arrows in existence at me and make me turn around or stop or cry or crumble. I'm going to take them and I'm going to say, thank you. May I have another? If you have that mindset and it's genuine in the Holy Spirit every day, there is nothing you can that can stop you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's go on with the verse and then we'll go with what I kind of wrote about this today. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. You always hear they talk about a completed Jew, and we read the Messianic Bible. Jesus had to endure perseverance, and it had to finish its work so that the Jew could become a completed Jew, which is us today. Isn't that great? Western dude, Eli, Western dude in there, we're going to let you stay for now, okay? But the more you talk like that in a show like this, the more we're just going to give you a timeout. So if you'd like to have an adult timeout, that's okay. But if you'd like to learn a little bit here, if you'd like to maybe add in some 2 cents that actually matter, or if you need anything, let us know, and we'll gladly do that for you. We're not here to hate you, so don't be here to hate on everybody in here that's literally just trying to better themselves. You can turn the other cheek, but don't let them kill you because of ignorance. I agree with that one. I agree with that one. Godchick says, just chiming into my LFA family. Read and study the book of James to practice Christian living. It's my favorite book. Although I love the other books of the Bible, James teaches you so much. James is a good book. They're all good books in their own right. Right? Okay, moving on. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. We have a lot of those people that we know in our lives that are like that, right? Good morning. Good morning. I see all these people just chiming in for the first time. 1,400 people watching live. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. All right, let's get to some stuff that I wrote down today, all right? And this is going to kind of go hand in hand with what we're talking about today. I asked God to take away my habit. He said no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give up. Wow. Now, I know that there's a lot of people in here who have been addicted to drugs, alcohol, sex, money. We've talked about it many times. Think about this. I asked God to take away my habit, and he said no. It's not for me to take away, but for you to give up. But hold on. But if we go back over here to James 1:2, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who generously gives to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Well, if it will be given to me, then why, when I ask for patience, to take away from my habit, God said, no, it's not for me to take away, but for you to give up. I thought God was going to give to me generously. He does. Here's the thing. God doesn't give you what you want. God gives you what you need according to his will. So, when a parent tells a 5-year-old, no, you can't have that chocolate, but I want it, and you told me that I could have a snack. I waited all day for this snack, and you told me that I can have a snack. Yes, you can have a snack, but it isn't going to be that chocolate. That chocolate is no good for you. That chocolate is going to cause cavities and eventually cancer if you eat too much of it. So you can have a snack. But I want that snack to be a banana or an apple. And I want you to want to have that snack because I want you to want my will for you. I want you to want what's good for you. And although you're five and you don't see it, know it, or understand it, chocolate is not good for you in any way, shape, or form. So I want you to want the banana and I want you to want the apple. So he's not going to give it to you if it's not according to his will. I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. Patience isn't granted. Patience is learned. How can I give you patience if you don't know how to embrace, apply, and use patience? Why would I give $10 million to a 10-year-old kid with no restrictions? That doesn't make sense. I can't give you something that is so precious and so special if you don't know how to use it. You have to learn it so you can retain it. That's how precious and special patience is. God said, no, I'm not going to give that to you. But you can learn it. I'll give you the opportunity to learn it. I asked God, here it is, we talked about this yesterday, to give me happiness. God says, no. I'll give you blessings of joy, but it's up to you whether or not you are happy or not. It's not up to me. So don't ask me for happiness. If you ask me, God, for happiness, I'm going to tell you no. I don't grant happiness. I give freely blessings of joy and good tidings. You have to choose whether you are going to be happy with your life or not. It's not up to me. I ask God to spare me pain. That sounds logical, right? That sounds like it's okay to ask for. Can you spare me this pain? But I remember somebody else being in a certain garden who was sweating droplets of blood while he asked the very same Father to spare him his impending future pain. What did God say? What did God say to his only begotten Son who took the sin of the world on him so you could be back with God in heaven? And he asked God, if there is another that can take this pain from me, please give it to them. God said, no. Suffering draws you apart from the cares of worldly things and brings you closer to me. If you have no pain, then how can you be drawn away from those worldly things that you care about so much? How would you be drawn to me if there was no rock bottom? How would you do that? How would you climb and meet me where I'm at if I just took away all pain when you asked for it, like a genie rubbing a lamp? That is not my will for you. My will for you is to draw you away from these worldly, earthly desires, cares, and wants, and to draw you closer to this heavenly thing that you don't desire or want anything because I've already given it to you. Which one do you want to live, folks? I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, now you're asking the right questions. Now you are asking according to my will. When you ask me for you to love others as much as I love you, that's the questions that you need to be asking. Those are the things that you need to be praying for. And when you bring all that full circle together, you go, wow. Just wow. It is okay to be told no. It really is. It is really okay to be told no. And I want to read for you what I wrote this morning. Remember when your parents said no to something that you really, really wanted? There's a reason that they do that. It is to protect you from something. You have no idea what it is at that point. You cannot see what your parents can see. As a matter of fact, they're taller than you, and they can look over the hill and see the wolves ready to devour you lambs. Remember that story? No good parent, keyword good, no good parent says no just to see you suffer from it. It's the reason that you are still alive today in some cases. Parents know best, and so does God. God tells us no sometimes. And when he does, we have to understand why. And the why is because he is protecting you from something that you cannot bear. God only allows temptation and trouble enough for you to bear. He does not allow you or allow things to happen to you more than you can bear. Now, it might be more than you think you can bear. You might be stretched. You might be stress tested further than you ever have. But he promises you that if you focus on him during that time and not the whys, what ifs, hows, or how am I going to get out of this or when, if you just focus on him, none of that stuff will matter and you'll get through that like that. That's the key though. It's where you look. Where you focus, where you prioritize. I got a few things I'd like to read here for you today. 1 minute prayer for dads. And I want to read from James again, but we're going to read from page 115. So if you have your 1 minute prayer for dads books handy, it is page 115. Jeremy, have you heard about anything biblical happening on the eclipse of April 7th? I've heard a lot of things about the eclipse on April 7th, and I'm going to do the same thing I do about everything else that I hear. Nothing. Just continue to focus on God, because I don't care. I mean, that's, I'm not saying that to be rude or anything. I just truly don't care about eclipses or government shutdowns or what are they going to do if this happens? Or what are they going to do if that happens? I can't live my life what ifs and possibilities and conspiracy theories and or maybe even true. I don't know. What I know is what I read here every day. And that's, if I don't keep focused on that, then I'll just go crazy. James 1:12, a dad's trials. Blessed is a man who stays steadfast under trials. Amid the trials of fatherhood, a mature Christian dad remain steadfast. He won't be shaken by adverse circumstances like eclipses. Whatever you're facing today, whether at home or on the job, you can remain steadfast if you lean hard on God. That's it. Lean hard on God. And everything else doesn't matter. Actually, nothing else matters. God, you know being a dad has its trials. Sometimes I don't feel up to the challenges. But thank you for the promise that there's a blessing for me if I stay steadfast under parental or any other trials of my faith. Thank you that I can rest in you and wait until the trial passes, as it always does. Help me see your hidden message in each dad trial that you send my way. I don't want to waste a single one, nor do I want an extra one that brings no growth to me as a father. When the necessary trials come, Lord, remind me to be patient and trust in you and wait for the blessings at the end. Oh, I've got more. Let's read from the Promise Book. God's provisions, Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 111:5. He hath given meat unto that who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. God's providence is revealed in both the big and small. The timing of a call from a friend, the help from a coworker, the cheer of a sunny day, there are no coincidences. Just a loving God revealing himself to those who watch for him. Loving God, remind me to watch for you in daily life. Help me recognize you in people, in nature, and in all circumstances. I have this one-on-one, and I played a one-on-one from these two before, but this is a one-on-one interview that I just think is a good, faithful, worshiping, godly-filled conversation that Kirk and Ray are having in this interview called How to Evangelize the Serious Nature of Sin. You've got your prosperity preachers out there. You've got your on the street, you're going to burn and rot in hell and fire and brimstone is coming your way, which is true. And even some of what the prosperity preachers preach is true, but they go so far on each side. They go so far away from the teachings of Jesus. And how? That's the most important thing. How would Jesus evangelize? Would he evangelize in million-dollar mansions and talk about the great things that God gives you if you love him? Would he evangelize on the street telling everybody how they're going to die and burn and rot? Or would he do it in a way that everybody can listen so that seeds could be planted in everybody and his message would mean the same thing but be interpreted in different ways by people so that they could understand his message? That's how Jesus would evangelize. And I like that kind of, I like thinking that when I talk about the word or the gospel. I go, WWJD. I always do that. So without further ado,
we've got a glorious gospel, Kirk. Every Christian should be crying out to God, God, use me in these closing hours of time. Help me to get rid of my fears. Every day I scream out to the heavens, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to know what to say, how to reach the lost.
Ray, I remember the first time that I met you, and I had never seen someone do what you did. I watched this video of this guy who was marching through the middle of a Hare Krishna convention in New York City, and you were carrying a casket with these pallbearers, and everyone was dressed in black, and you set up this mock funeral, got everybody's attention, and then let them know that each and every one of us also has an appointment with death. And then you preach the gospel to them. And I thought you were like a modern day John the Baptist. And you spoke so articulately and reasoned so well with people who were skeptics. And then you just reeled them in with the gospel. It was masterful.
I was waiting for you to say, and then you met me and realized I was a little lunatic.
Well, I didn't get to that part yet. You said it.
Yes.
I didn't. Ray, so many people know who you are, and I can't imagine the thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who are in heaven because of your ministry. I truly mean that. That's not an exaggeration. But for those who aren't familiar with the very beginnings, how did Ray Comfort, the great evangelist, come to Christ himself?
For sake of humility, could you just call me Your Holiness in future? Because I'm embarrassed all those,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
Well, I got saved back in 1972.
Yeah.
I was tormented by the fear of death. Hebrews 2, verse 14, 15 says, every human being is haunted by the fear of death all their lifetime. It was the secret that I had that I didn't tell anyone about. Got to the age of about 20 and just wept one night at the thought of losing Sue. Just my wife, if she died, newly married, I'd have nothing to live for. All my material things would mean nothing. So I just cried out, why am I alive? Why? Didn't even think I was praying. But God heard my prayer. 6 months later, I heard the gospel. The thing that converted me was the words of Jesus in Matthew 5. You've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. And I remember thinking, well, I've never committed adultery. I'm fine. And then I read the words, but I say to you, whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. And that's when it's like an arrow hit my chest. And I realized if God saw my thought life, I was in big trouble on Judgment Day. And that's when I understood the cross. Came to Christ, born again, new heart, new desires. And I was like a madman with joy that God had plucked me out of darkness, out of death, and brought me into life. And so I started giving out gospel tracts. I actually purchased a printing press and put it in our home, put scripture on our car, it's sign writing and professional sign writing, purchased a huge bus, put scripture around there. Started preaching in the local square in the heart of our city, Christchurch in New Zealand, city of 350,000 people, and did that almost every day for 12 years. Because I'd found everlasting life and there's no way I was going to keep quiet. So I look on myself as a normal, biblical Christian, nothing special.
Well, you're certainly a unique Christian and somebody who comes to Christ and says, oh, I've got my sins forgiven, I'm not going to hell, I've got eternal life. That's enough for many people, but you took that to the next level and then devoted your life to evangelism. Why did you do that? Why not apologetics? Why not prosperity teaching? Why not becoming a pastor? You were an evangelist.
Not today, commercials, although that's a great product, but moving on.
Well, if you're in a lifeboat and people are drowning around you, why not polish the brass?
Amen.
Why not eat soup?
Amen.
Or would you rather reach out and pull them in?
Amen.
So when you realize evangelism is on the heart of God, that's why Jesus died, then that's what you do. You follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Follow after me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. So every Christian should be utterly consumed in horror at the thought of anyone dying in their sins. Every day, just about takes my breath away that there are people out there that don't know why they're alive. They're haunted by the fear of death. They've got no hope in the gospel. They're like a man on the edge of a plane, knows he has to jump. He's got no parachute, 10,000 feet. Horrified. That's what drives me to reach out to the lost, because if God has really taken your heart and changed you and written his law upon your heart, he will cause you to walk in his statutes. In other words, you will naturally love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so the analogy I use when I talk about evangelism to Christians is say, could I ever get you to jump into a pond that's about 5 feet deep and it's got big chunks of ice in it and it's so cold it'll kill you in 3 minutes? You say, no. What's say a four-year-old boy fell in there and his feet wouldn't touch the bottom and he's drowning? You wouldn't hesitate to jump in.
That's right.
Because love will do that. You'll grab him and pull him out. Perfect love casts out all fear.
Yep.
And the waters of personal evangelism are freezing. There's no denying that. But if we love sinners, we'll push aside our fears and grab them. So if you've got problems with fear when it comes to evangelism, don't pray for less fear. Pray for more love, because that's the problem.
Mm.
Don't pray for less fear, pray for more love. Mm. Ray, your style of evangelism has been going out onto the streets, and I've gone there with you. For years, we did the television show, The Way of the Master, and you just ask people these crazy questions, like, what do you think happens when you die? You ask them all sorts of questions, personal questions, questions about their secret thought life. What's been the response with such a bold and confrontational style of evangelism?
I've I haven't been beaten up yet, but I sometimes watch the videos.
I heard a story once that you were beaten up by a little old lady.
No, it wasn't. It was a young lady. It wasn't a little old lady. We've got to get this right.
Oh, okay.
And it was my fault, Kirk. Do you remember what happened? Santa Monica, preaching to about 40 people when a young lady, probably early 20s, used the F word twice to describe me. And I said, "Madam, can you watch your language? There are ladies present."
Oh,
and that that's what she said.
That didn't go over well.
And she says, "I am a lady." I said, "Madam, you may be a woman, but you're not a lady." And that's when she ran at me like a bat out of heaven and started beating me up. I thought she was Mike Tyson's sister because she didn't scratch and pull hair. She just went, and she got in 6 punches. And then when I was on the ground, she said to my team who were holding her back, "Let me go, I want to get my handbag." And she didn't want a handbag, she just wanted to get in a kidney punch. Took 2 weeks for the bruising to go, but she doubled my crowd, and she can come back anytime she wants.
All right, I got to stop that right there. Okay. I want you to hear what Ray said there. It wasn't a little old lady, it was a young lady. We got to get that right. And it wasn't her fault, it was mine. Ray said it took 2 weeks for the bruisings to go away. Ray was punched a bunch of times, smoked in the kidney. And Ray said, it wasn't her fault, it was mine. That's something Jesus would say. Now, I'm not comparing Ray to Jesus. I'm saying if we're to be like Christ, that's something Jesus would say. I provoked that woman and said something I shouldn't have said. It's my fault. I don't hate you for you hitting me and lashing out at me. You can come back anytime. Is that not what Jesus would say? I just love that. Now, if we're talking about taking hits, taking punches, always keeping a positive attitude, and never giving up, well, look no further than our 45th president, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take you back in the past, and I'm going to bring you much more to closer recent times, but still in the past. This is what it's all about.
To maybe lose everything for a period of time to see who's loyal and who's not loyal. And I found out a lot of
did
things.
Did you find out who's loyal and not loyal?
I tell you what, and you can't guess it. You can't predict it. You think certain people would be loyal no matter what, and it turns out that they're not, and you just can't predict it. Someday I'd like to maybe lose everything for a period of time to see who's loyal and who's not loyal.
Someday I'd like to lose everything for a period of time. Who says that other than a godly person? Now, he might not have been an evangelist or a godly, outspoken person back then. And we know Trump has come closer to Jesus in his faith as he's gotten older and as he's gone through what he predicted back then. But he said, someday I want to lose everything so I can see people for who they really are. And then I want to bring you to this. And this one is sad. Remember this? This one was sad. I remembered this speech like it was yesterday, but when I rewatched it today, it almost made me cry. Listen to his sadness.
This is why you never trust someone with no morals. They will backstab you the second you're not useful to them.
Hi, Chuck. He used to love me when I was a Democrat, you know. A special hello to all of you in this room who have known and loved me for many, many years.
It's true.
The politicians. They've had me to their homes. They've introduced me to their children. They've asked for my endorsement, and they always wanted my money. And even called me really a dear, dear friend. But then suddenly decided when I ran for president as a Republican that I've always been a no good, rotten, disgusting scoundrel. And they totally forgot about me. But that's okay.
This is why you never trust someone with no morals.
They were my friends. They loved me. I respected them. They wanted my endorsement. They introduced me to their families. They introduced me to their kids. But the minute that I was running as a Republican, they turned on me, and I was nothing but a no good, rotten, lying, dirty scoundrel. But that's okay. Who says that? Who says that if not a Christian? Who said that if not a man who is standing on principle and integrity? Who says that, ladies and gentlemen, if they aren't willing to actually live through it? And I'm going to tell you this right now. As sure as I stand here in front of you right now, and as sure as God is real in heaven, that man will make it through this. He'll make it through this with your prayers, my prayers, and you'll make it through what you're going through as well. With prayer. Much prayer. Much time with God. And remember, everybody, when people turn on you, like they will, or like they already are, embrace it. Love them more. Pray for more love, not for more fear. Pray for more love, not for more hate. Because they're the ones that are suffering, not you. It's okay to say no sometimes. And it's okay to be told no sometimes, especially if it's from God. All right, guys. It's going to do it for Rise Up today. I really enjoyed it. I really love you. And I love the message. Thank you for being here. Remember, Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. Eli's blasting the link in the show right now, or in the chat right now. Make sure you don't miss it. And I'll see you back here at 11 a.m. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here today. Enjoy the music on your way out. Pray on your way out. See you later.
Time again. Miracles I can't.